Hi everyone, and welcome back to a supplemental video from the Old Testament Survey course. In this section, we'll be elaborating on some issues that came up in the story of Abraham from the book of Genesis. When we looked at the promise of blessing which God gave to Abraham, we noticed the similarities of that promise with the promise of scrub, which we learned earlier in the key themes of God's plan section. Therefore, this supplemental section is to go into more detail how these concepts are related. How does the promise to Abraham relate to scrub? And how do each of the four parts of scrub relate to each other? And what difference does this make for our understanding of the Old Testament and for our Christian life? These are the questions that we're going to explore in this video. But first, let's briefly review the concept of scrub. Scrub stands for salvation, that God will rescue us from that which is harming us. That can be enemies or situations in this life, but primarily he rescues us from our greatest enemy, which is sin and its punishment of death. Second is community, that God will place us in relationship with other people who have a similar experience of salvation and relationship with God, that we would love one another and help one another to grow in God. And relationship, that we would have relationship with God Himself, knowing and experiencing Him personally in all His awesomeness. And finally, blessing, that we would experience the benefits of God's goodness and provision in all parts of life. And now let's briefly review the promises which God gave Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. First, God commanded Abram to leave his home and travel to a place God would show him. Then he said, "I will make you into a great nation." Then God promised, "I will bless you." He said, "I will make your name great." And then God told Abram, "You will be a blessing." And he said, "I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you." And finally, God told Abraham, "Every tribe of the earth will be blessed through you." That's just a quick summary that we elaborated in a previous video. But I want you to notice that these promises are very similar to the promises of scrub. But if you look carefully, especially the icons I've used, you might be thinking community and blessing are overly represented in what God says to Abraham. And salvation and relationship with God seem to be lacking. Well, what's up with that? Have I misled you? Is there a mistake? Is it so one-sided that Abraham's life, it's all about blessing and little else? Well, some people have come to that conclusion, but I think they're mistaken. But if so, where is salvation and relationship in this whole promise that God made to Abraham? Where is salvation and relationship in the patriarch story as a whole? Well, I think that they underlie the whole thing. Remember, the context of the patriarchs comes right after Genesis chapters 3 through 11, which tells of a broken world with broken relationships. Sets the stage, shows the absolute necessity of salvation. And we talked about how starting at Genesis 12 is the solution to this problem. Salvation is the assumed foundation for all the promises that God has given Abraham. And it's a necessary prerequisite before any of these promises can take place. See, in this story, God has called Abraham out of Ur in Babylon. God has separated him from his pagan past and drawn him into relationship with himself before Abraham will experience any of these promised blessings. In the same way, relationship with God is almost assumed as a necessary foundation for everything else. See, none of the blessings that God promised Abraham could ever happen without relationship to God, because they all come from God. So likewise, relationship with God is absolutely fundamental to everything. It's not absent, but it's everywhere, like the air we breathe. But because it's everywhere, it can be easily ignored. See, salvation is a restored relationship with God. Therefore, it's a prerequisite to relationship with God, from which everything else comes. But as we see in the Bible, this salvation comes from God as a gift. It's not something we can fix for ourselves. So now let's look more closely at the four items of scrub and how they relate together. Well, the interaction of these four concepts is somewhat complicated as we see it played out and described in the rest of the Bible. And misunderstanding their interconnectedness has caused many problems. So I advise you to look through these things as you're reading your Bible and meditate on how they're connected and how they should work in your own life. And also for this reason is why I wanted to elaborate on the priorities and the interrelationship of scrub in this section. So as we work through this material, please check to see if the Bible backs up what I'm saying. And if it does, then believe it and practice it. First, let me start with a metaphor. Have you ever seen one of these? Think about, what is its purpose? And now let me ask, which part of the truck is most important? Is the front end with the engine, or is it the back part where all the cargo is held? And let me also suggest a third option, a third item that you might not have thought about. That's the road itself. And I want to suggest that all of these are important. All of these are necessary. And in this metaphor, I'm likening the road to salvation, in that it is necessary to make a way for relationship, community, and blessing to get to us. In the same way that without the road, the truck doesn't get there. In our lives, without salvation, we don't experience community, relationship, and blessing. And then I'm also likening relationship with God to the engine part, the driving part of the truck that drives and brings everything else. And community and blessing are like the cargo that automatically gets there whenever relationship with God happens. So whenever the engine part of the truck shows up, the trailer part of the truck is automatically there because they're attached. But too often, people focus on and pursue community and blessing without thinking about relationship with God. See, of course, everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be happy. But like the semi-trailer, they're never going to show up on their own unless there's an engine pulling them. And when this engine comes, these things come automatically. So if you want blessing and a community, pursue relationship with God. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well." Real, lasting blessings cannot be had without God. But they're a result of a growing relationship with God. Now, this metaphor breaks down a bit, because relationship with God himself is not just the thing that causes blessings, but knowing God is the primary and most important blessing. And we don't experience any of them unless salvation makes a way for them to get to us. So now let me change the metaphor, and let's focus on salvation. And I want to point out that in the Bible, salvation is two-sided. First, it is salvation from something. That is, salvation is the smashing of those roadblocks that keep us from relationship, community, and blessing. It tears down walls that separate us from all that God has. But salvation is also salvation to something, for something. Salvation makes a way for us to experience relationship with God, blessing, and community. In other words, salvation doesn't just plop us on our own in a vacuum, but its purpose is these other three things. Now let's change the metaphor again. Look at another aspect of these relationships. We can think in a certain way that community and relationship with God are the two primary examples of blessing, along with a whole bunch of other temporal and eternal blessings. And we can never think of blessings apart from these. If in our mind, when we hear the word blessing, we think of something that has nothing to do with community and relationship with God, we have a skewed understanding of blessing. Now, when God promises Abraham blessing, that means he's primarily promising relationship with himself. Because God brings nothing apart from himself, and he himself is the best blessing there is. And his blessings bring us into community with his people. It's a package deal. We're not lone rangers, just me and Jesus. It's me and Jesus and the rest of his bride. So it's true that salvation, relationship, and community can be thought of as examples of blessing. But I also think it's more true to say that relationship with God is the primary thing. All these others flow from relationship with God himself, because God is the source of all these things. And relationship with God summarizes all the other three and is primary. Again, seek first God's kingdom. And Jesus says in John 17:3 that eternal life is to know God. You see, relationship with God is an end in itself. And we should never think of it just as a means to get to something else. We should not try to use God to get blessing and salvation and community. Remember, God's primary goal is that you will know that I am Yahweh. Relationship with God, knowing God, is central because the whole universe is about God. Anything that takes the focus off of God and puts it primarily onto us or on our blessing or any of these other things is out of balance. Relationship with God, knowing God personally, is most important. That is the essence of Christianity. Paul demonstrates this in his own attitude when he writes in Philippians chapter 3, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." And David wrote in Psalm 16, he said, "I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." And Asaph said in Psalm 73, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you." That kind of wholehearted desire after God is the core of true Christianity. And if we place anything else as more important than relationship with God, it's no longer Christianity. Rather, it has fallen down into idolatry. Watch out that your blessings, which are good things, but watch that they don't become a hindrance to your relationship with God. Actually, God warns us against this kind of thing in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where he says, For Yahweh your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valley and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise Yahweh your God for the good things he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget Yahweh your God, failing to observe his commandments, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your hearts and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget Yahweh your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble you and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You might say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember Yahweh your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget Yahweh your God, and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. It's just a nature of prosperity and blessings that if we're not careful, we can lose sight of the true source of blessing. So please take this warning seriously and don't forget your first love, because it's easier to do than you think. Regularly examine your heart to make sure that your love for Jesus is growing and that you love God himself more than you love the stuff that he does for you. And it's no problem to love his blessings. That's good. Delight in his salvation. Delight in his blessing. Delight in his people. But let these things fuel your delight for God himself more. Well, that's the sum of this brief digression into the inner relationships of Scrub and God's promise of blessing. I hope this is helpful, and I pray that you find ways to put these insights into practice in your own life. In the next section, we'll start working through the book of Exodus. Thanks for watching.